Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Biblical Necessitarianism. So, what does it mean? We're starting off today. We're announcing. We got it on tape right now. And the beautiful thing is that this goes out to sermon audio. And I have a brother in Christ I love so much. His name is Alan Barnes. And we're all saying this right now because Alan's going to hear this. He takes this message every week and goes out with his dog. As goes walking out in the woods there in Nashville, Tennessee, he listens to these sermons. He calls, he puts the sermons out, and then we have sermon audio, and we've got out now. How many sermons do we have out there right now?
I think it's like about 92 sermons online.
92 sermons online. And the hits, we've been, for a while, going about 400 downloads a month. And so that's a blessing going out. And it's really cool seeing it in China and different nations going out. So it's a real blessing that this is going out. We have a follower.
Yeah.
Following Kenya that's into sovereignty. So it's an awesome thing. So we're very thankful for this and thankful all of you here this morning. Something that I believe is so, so important is to look at the entire Bible, and Paul said in Acts 20:27, he said, I've not shunned to declare to you what? Say it with me, the whole, W-H-O-L-E, say it, please, the what? Whole counsel of God. So you have, how many writers of the whole Bible?
Approximately
60. Okay, so we have all these writers of the whole Bible, and all the writers, what's the message? What are they, this unanimity of thought, what are they consistent on? Is there a message, a consistent message of, ready? That man has an autonomous, independent, free will from God. Is the message that all the writers, they say that nothing determines the will, not even God. God sees the will as something being with such integrity, with such sacredness, that he would never, ever violate it or work against it. Is that the message of all the writers from Genesis to Revelation? Are they holding up the free, libertarian, autonomous will of man? Or do they all talk about the independent, sovereign will of God, ordaining all things, both good and evil, for His ultimate glory? Which message? Who could tell me? The former or the latter? Which one? The latter. That is the consistent message of the Bible. But what do we see today in most of your seminaries, most of your churches, I'm talking about America, in America, the message is, ready? Free will! Nothing stirs up people, the free willist, more than teaching the sovereignty of God. You go and read the commentaries from the free will people that from this position, especially in the book of Romans, especially Romans chapter 9, and nothing shouts more about the independent, autonomous, sovereign will of God, sovereign grace of God, more than Romans chapter 9. Anybody agree? Well, what a message. But you'll see them twist it and distort it. And they go to great pains to hide the message of God sitting on His throne with His scepter, ruling and reigning in heaven, and on earth, and the sea, everything is under His sovereign will. They don't want to say that. They hate that message. Can I tell you why they hate that message? Because you have a nature, and I have a nature, ready? That wants to assert yourself. You have a nature and I have a nature. All of us are cursed with this. It's because of the fall, all of us have a nature that says what? Ready? My will be done. Anybody get upset when things don't go your way? Come on. Give me some feedback. Anybody ever get upset with your mate? No, not at all. Come on. I married the perfect mate. Ever get upset with your kids? No, no. My kids were born without a sin nature. Sinless. And so what do? Things don't always go the way we like them to go, and we get upset, incensed. My will. My will. When you get upset with things, what are you railing against? You're railing against the will of God in your life. God's bringing this in your life for a purpose. Job 7:18. Guess what Job 7:18 says? Ready? Please write that verse down. Job 7:18 says this. God tests us, His saints, how often? Once a week? Who said that? Wow. Christopher. This is amazing that someone actually knew this. I just can't believe it. He was born at every moment. He's a Nestorian. It's of eternal necessity that He tests you every moment. Job 7:18. Say, wait, what is it? Job what? Chapter 7? 7 is upside down, golf putter, right? And Tiger Woods, that was his job to play golf. 18 holes, right? People are tested. For you golfers, it's a good little mnemonic device there. And so, tested every moment. God's testing you now, right now. God's always testing you. What's He testing? Is it my will be done or your will be done? What's the Bible teach? That there is a cause behind all things, or it's indeterminism. Nothing's determining really anything. What does the Bible teach? Are all things determined? Please say the word with me. Are all things what? Determined? Or are they not determined? Does man have an independent, free, libertarian, autonomous will that is independent of God's eternal, immutable, uncaused, sovereign plan? Is man free from God? Have you ever been in your car and cursed? I won't admit it. Upset? I have a major problem in the car. I have so much pride. I have just tons of pride. I'm going to confess something. As soon as I say it, you're going to go, you shouldn't do that. That's wrong. I know it's wrong. So I'm asking, pray. Debbie knows what it is. I was raised with a dad that's had problems with females being over him, dominant. And so it was terrible. My dad was a terrible model in that one area. The female is never to leave the male or anything. So he'd be in the car there, and dad was first at everything. So when a woman passes me on the highway, if I want special on a trip, not going to happen. No woman's going to pass me up. We're doing 90 miles. I don't care if we're doing 90. I'm going to do 95. And I become a different person. You look at me. That's not Pastor Jerry. Hi, how you doing? That's how he became so much. And I did. I'm into what? My will be done. And it's wicked, and I know it's wicked. I'm the same way with a guy. If a guy tries to pass me, I didn't want to let a guy pass me. Well, I got to be number one. The other day, a guy passed me up, and then all of a sudden, the car is hit, and we know what we're doing. It's all about testosterone, girls, okay? Here it is, the male ego, and I went, vroom, I took out. Vroom, vroom. Debbie said, what are you doing? I'm looking in the mirror. Vroom, vroom. And the guy's, vroom, vroom. No one's going to power to catch me. And so, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is convicting me. This is sin. This is sin. This is sin. What are you doing? What about sovereignty? Who cares if he goes ahead? What does it mean? All of a sudden, I confess it. And I say, oh, God, this is wicked. Wicked. Me asserting myself. All about our will. Now, where is it in your life where the rub is with God's will and your will. Where is it? Where is it right now? With guys, what do we like to do? Go to the gym, work out. I just started getting back into working out. And I'd come home with Debbie at the last few months. So I'd say, fill his chest. It's a guy thing. Fill the arms. And I went to work out at the gym yesterday. Right before I went in, the Holy Spirit convicted me because I've been in the scriptures. Like, why are you going to work out? What's your motive? Ooh. Wow, it's to have big muscles. Okay, where's Christ in this? He's nowhere in this. Where's Colossians 1:18 in this? And Apostle Paul says, and he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Where does Christ have the preeminence in your life and going to the gym? Where is he? I went in, I worked out. Guess what I did not do? I didn't look in the mirror. I didn't look in the mirror at all. What sort of look at my body? When you go in the gym, everybody's look in the mirror. They all walk around, peacocks, trying to impress each other. And I came home, the Holy Spirit convicted me. I didn't say a word to Debbie about fill this chest, this muscle. Not a word about any of it. And I'm going, this is not of Jack Lanham. This is the Holy Spirit conforming me to the image of Christ. Wow. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Please say that verse with me. Philippians, please write that. Philippians chapter what? 2, verse 13. Ready? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I don't have the ability to will one good thought, nor you either. We have no ability to will a good thought. Godliness, to be like Christ in humility, holiness is of the omnipotent God, the Holy Spirit alone. Man has nothing to do with that. God makes you holy. God makes you humble. God, the Holy Spirit, conforms you to the image of Christ. Sanctification is not your job. Amen? It is of God. Where is it in your life that you're saying things are not ready? Shouldn't go this way. This job, it's just the things going shouldn't go this way. Can I tell you some good news? All things are on schedule. All things are going exactly how they've been planned to be. Don't miss this, ready? This life is not one of many possible lives that you're living. This is the only possible world. There's no other possible existence. Every thought you will think has already been planned for you. Every word you will say, every sin you will commit, every good thing you will do, it is all already thought in God's mind, already preordained, predetermined from eternity past. All things are necessary because of the nature of God. Say it with me. All things are necessary because of the nature of God. It is the way it is because who God is. He is all-knowing. He is a God that plans. This is a plan. God foreknows everything because God has foreordained everything. Let me say it again. God foreknows everything because God has foreplanned, foreordained what He knows. This is of certainty. Foreknowledge implies, you listening? Foreknowledge implies inevitability. Inevitability. If He knows it, it cannot be false. Who agrees? Has God known about you being here right now? Come on. How long has He known it? When did He learn about this? He can't learn. He's never learned. Never had a first thought, second thought, new thought, old thought. You have always been an object of His love, of His grace, from eternity. Your identity is in God's will alone. Your identity has nothing to do with you. You are created. What's the problem with the Arminian? No one's ever shared with them the definition of creation. You know what creation means? Made. You have a created will. You have a created life. How many of you know that David was a Nestorian? Anybody know that? David, can I tell you why? How I know that? One verse. Psalm 139, verse 16. So write it down, please. Psalm 139, verse 16. Please write it down. Psalm 139, 16. What's it say? All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Say it with me. Psalm 139, 16. What's it say? All the days ordained for me, personal, were written in your book before one of them came to be. How many days? All the days. Psalm 33:15, write it down, please. Psalm 33:15. What does it say? He fashions yetzer, the Hebrew word for fashion, which means create. Create, just like the potter has his clay. He fashions, Psalm 33:15, he fashions their, ready? Minds, thoughts, individually. He fashions, makes, creates. There are many of us that have been taught what the word create means. Created. If you're created, guess what you are? Dependent. Please say it with me. What is it? Dependent. Dependent. Everything's dependent. Watch, I'm walking right now, but I'm not walking in my own power. It's only because of the power of God's omnipotence. We move, we live and move in Him because of His what? His omnipotence. It's His omnipotence, guess what? That you're able to think. One thought to the next is only one source. It's His omnipotence. He moves you. If you're created for God, get out of bed. Who got you out of bed? God. What attribute? Say it. Omnipotence. It's all about God. Everything about you, you are dependent on His knowledge, His will, His power. You are a creature. A creature screams what? Dependent. Amen? The Arminian message, there's nothing in the Arminian message that gives what? A constant, moment-by-moment occasion to praise God, worship God, glorify God, honor God, and to be what? Humble. This is the only message that, the only logical foundation that gives us the foundation for what? Humility. It makes us humble. What did the Father say when the Lord Jesus Christ came out of the water, was baptized? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Why is He well pleased? We're going to go through the scripture today and look at the Son was always saying, I came, the volume of the book is written to me to do His will, the Father's will. Always. What was through the Gospels, what do we see that the Son is saying the whole time? The Father's will, His will, His will. Obedience is right. I always do His will. What's Peter saying in 1 Peter 2:21? He says what? He says, we have an example. Who's the example? Christ. Christ's example was what? Submission to the will of the Father. It's His will, right? In Luke 22:42, where we have the very end of His life, where we have with Him, He's saying, Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. But He says, not my will, let Your will be done. And so what is it all about your whole Christian life? Your will versus the Father's will. Who agrees? That's it. It all boils down to that. Let's look at the introduction. Free will, grab your notes please, necessarily leads to atheism. Anybody have your notes? I can imagine some of my Arminian friends, after they read the title of the sermon, thinking that I'm really taking this doctrine of God's sovereignty too far. At one time, I was an Arminian, therefore I know how they think. Here's a typical response by those that believe if you teach against free will, then this must be your logical conclusion. This comes from Richard Watson's Biblical and Theological Dictionary on Nestorianism. The anti-Nestorians allege that the Bible of necessity charges God as the author of what? Sin. That it takes away the freedom of what? The will. Renders man unaccountable to his maker. Makes sin to be no evil and morality or virtue to be no good. And that it precludes the use of means and is of the most gloomy tendency. So in other words, don't become a Nestorian, right? It's going to ruin your Christian life. You will not love the Lord. You will not walk in the Spirit. You will not be obedient if you believe in the doctrine that teaches against free will. Here's my comment. However, what I intend to prove from Scripture alone is that none of these allegations are true, and that the Arminian has not logically deduced the conclusion of their doctrine of libertarian, independent, autonomous free will. Do you know why I put it out like this? Why I say it like that? Watch. Devin deduced the conclusion of their doctrine of libertarian. Watch. Libertarian, that you have liberty of indifference. Nothing, not even God, causes your will. It's so free. You come to a crossroads. You go right or you go left. I'm sitting there. Guess what the libertarian free will teach? When you reduce it out like the open theology, like Clark Pinnock and the process theology people, guess what they say? Even God doesn't know if you're going to go right or left until you actually do it. Even you don't even know that you are an independent force in the universe. Independent, autonomous. My will! I'm the captain of my fate. I'm the one steering my ship. I am going to be successful. I will get my MBA. I will go to college. I will be this. I will be that. I will go to the city, and I'll be prosperous, and I'll find people, and I'll work, and we will do this, and we'll do that. I will make this happen. What does God say about all this? Listen, if they were to be biblically logical, they would end up, necessarily so, in the theological camp of the process and open theologians. And these heretics, you can see where I stand on this, Jackie, please tell us how you really feel. And these heretics assert that God's word is not what? Inerrant means that it does have errors. And infallible means it's capable of having errors and erring. And that God is not what? All-knowing. These guys, watch. When you really believe in free will, guess what? Watch this. You don't have truth. The purpose of free will from the mind of Satan, I want to show you, is to destroy the Bible. Once you destroy the Bible, you're into atheism. But you're really not into atheism. It's very subtle. You're into another form of theology. It's the worship of the creature, which is really the worship of Satan. Unwittingly, you're doing what he wants you to do, is to worship him. Once you assert you're independent, you're free, he's the first one that thought like that. He was your first atheist. Asserting his independence. I will be like the Most High. I will be what? Independent, autonomous. Me, my will, my will, my will. He wants to, excuse me, he wants all of us to follow him in rebellion. Who agrees? That's his goal. That's what he's doing right now. All his plan. All these different religions. Of 11 major religions, Christianity is truth. Everything else is false. Christianity is a monopoly on truth. It's the only intellectually defensible system of thought on the planet. Why? Because it is truth. This is truth. Nothing else is truth. What I'm holding in my hand is inerrant and infallible, all statistics books. No other book can say this. Anybody say amen to that? This is truth. Psalm 119:160, the entirety of your word, David said, is what? Truth. Say it with me. Psalm 119:160 says what? The entirety of your word is truth. This is truth. Let's continue. Look at this. Hence, once you accept the premise or a process in open theology, which declares that man has a will that is free and independent from God, and this autonomous will is determined by what? Nothing. Then it follows that the doctrine of man's free will makes man God and completely abandons the independent God of Scripture, i.e., which leads to what? Blasphemous atheism. Here's the purpose. To prove from Scripture alone that the Arminian doctrine of free will necessarily leads to atheism, and to show from Scripture that the doctrine of God's sovereign, independent will is the only premise that affords the logic for what? Excuse me, holiness and humility, and for worshiping God and thanking Him and praising Him moment by moment for what? Say it, all things. Because His will alone is what? Causing all things to work together for good for His glory alone. Who remembers where that verse is? Ready? Romans 8:28. Say it with me out loud. Romans 8:28. What's it say? All things work together for good. Now, is the all things, is that all things of the universe? We pray the universe? Like the secret, the Babylonian book, The Secret, in the DVD, The Secret, is the universe? Is it working all things? What's the cause that superintends, that determines that all things work together for good? Is it your will? The will of the universe? Or is there only one will that you can count on and depend upon and trust in when He says about Himself that I'm the only one that's omnipotent, I'm sitting on my throne with my scepter, I'm ruling and reigning this universe, and I am seeing to it that everything works together for your good. Amen? Can we trust it? Give me some feedback. Can we trust it? Yes, we can. That's what it comes down to. Paul says that heresies must come. Who heard that? Heresies. So we now have it. What is it? Paul says that heresies, that they must come. Write down 1 Corinthians 11:19. 1 Corinthians 11:19. That heresies must come. Why must they come, John Collier?
To be able to approve those who are selected by God to defend the faith.
That's why heresies must come. Heresies must come. Now, do heresies work together for your good? Come on, give me some feedback. Most definitely work together for good. Does Joseph's brothers taking him and putting him in the pit and selling him into slavery, did that work together for Joseph's good? Was it evil what they did? Joseph was an esoterian. He believed the absolute necessity of his brothers, foreordained from eternity past, to sin and put him in the pit and sell him into slavery, because what did he say in Genesis 50:20? Please write it down. Genesis 50:20. What did he say? He was an esoterian. He believed that all things were determined. Genesis 50:20. What did he say? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Say it with me. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Who is determining the outcome of that? Did they have a free will? Those brothers, could they have killed Joseph? Give me some feedback. Could they have killed Joseph? No. It is of eternal necessity they put him in the pit. They could not kill Joseph. Were they talking about killing him? Yes. The discussion was, let's kill him. Kill him! In a dream, as a teenager, he's telling all of us, he says, I had a dream! I had this dream! And he was telling him that mom and dad are going to fall down before me, and you as my brother are going to fall down before me. It is a cool dream. I don't know. Oh, that dreamer, I'm going to kill him. He's out of here. He's coming to see us. That's our chance. Quick, kill him. Were they saying they want to kill him? Come on. Oh, whoa, oh. Get rid of this dreamer. I hate him. Now let's sell him into slavery. Their thoughts, their words were all preordained, determined by God. What did he tell them? Turn with me to Genesis 45, verse 8. Genesis, first book in the Bible. Genesis 45, some easy ones for you to find. Genesis 45, and look at verse 8. 45. First of all, look at verse 7. Genesis 45, verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. Joseph was a Nesetarian. He believed it was of eternal necessity that what? He be sent there to Egypt to be what? The second in command of all of Egypt. Who agrees with that? Right next to Pharaoh. Who determined that? God. Say with me, alone. Please say with me, alone. 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 His will alone determined that. He rules. Verse 8. So now, it was not you who sent me here. Can you imagine both looking at each other? The last time I saw, I think it was me and you putting in that fit. Is he okay? Look at him. He's got his head shaved. Yeah, he's one of those. He's a little nuts. What's going on here? What was he doing? He was giving them a lesson in biblical Nesetarianism. He was teaching about the necessity, God's will, God's sovereign over that whole situation. Can you imagine looking at them and realizing, I'm part of fulfilling this whole plan of saving the whole nation of Israel, being wiped out, these 70 people? Look at this. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Did God just merely look down the corridors of time and saw that was going to happen and manipulated the thing? So, or was that of eternal necessity? That was the one plan from eternity. Acts 15, 18. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Say it with me. Known. Known. Known to God. Knowledge implies inevitability. Truth. Could this have not happened? Could any of his prophecies be proven to be false? Give me some feedback. No. Why? He has foreordained it this way. It can only go one way. You have no other possible existence. Your will has nothing to do with you creating your life. You don't create anything. I have a will. Well, of course you do. Well, the Bible says free will. It says free will offering. Well, of course it does. Well, let's see there. See there, you Nesetarian. See, it says free will offering. Well, of course. What's it mean? Ready? Free will offering. In the Hebrew, it means voluntarily. It means it was not under the compulsion of the law. You were not legally required to do it. I'll go beyond, not a requirement, but I want to give more, voluntarily give more. It does not mean that I have a will, independent, autonomous from God. This means that I'm not under compulsion or obligation to give what I want to give. I'm just doing it voluntarily. I want to give more. I thought free will meant that you're independent, autonomous, libertarian. No, folks, doesn't deal with that. The Nesetarian never says we don't have a will. Never says we don't have choices. Never says the Bible's not saying that you are choosing and you have a will. It just says your will is determined for you and your choices are all decreed for you. You're living a decreed, predetermined existence. Folks, can I tell you something? It can only be that way. There's no other possible way since we are creatures. God cannot create an independent being. Who heard that? He can't. God cannot create an independent being. Ipso facto, by the very nature of the fact, once He creates, you are what? Say it. Dependent. And what's dependent? Will, thoughts, actions, words, everything. Everything you will do for the rest of eternity has already been thought. Everything you'll do, who you'll meet when you go to heaven, first person you'll meet, which is Christ, everyone else, your whole itinerary, everything you will do for eternity, it's fixed. It cannot be any other way. It's determined. There is only one eternity, one existence for you. And you have nothing to do with it. There's only one possible eternal existence. You writing right here, whatever you're doing right now, can I tune in for a second? This moment is brought to you by God. Sit with me. This moment is brought to you by God. And guess what? The rest of the moments, the eternal succession of moments and ideas are brought to you by God forever and ever 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 and ever. We did it, Jack! It's forever! It'll never stop. And guess what? The future you're walking into is the future that God has personally, in love, planned for you. In wisdom. In grace. He predestined us in love. He loves you. Whatever He brings in your life, no mistakes, no happenstance. People walk on the stage, the characters given their lines, they have their scripts. Everything is going according to plan for one reason. It's for the glory of the Father. His eternal glory. The focus is Christ. What's the purpose behind the purpose? The purpose is to glorify Christ, and that is the purpose behind that, for the Father's glory. It's all for the Father's glory. Romans 11:36, for of Him and through Him and to Him, that's the Father, are all things, to Him be glory, that's the Father, forever. Christ was goal, dying on the cross, is for one purpose, the glory of the Father. The Father has us, everything He's designed is to focus us on Christ. Christ. That it may not what our will show our lives, show who we are. It's to focus on Christ. Christ. Paul says in Colossians 3:1, said, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things there. For you died and your life is hidden with God in Christ. For Christ, which is your life. Christ is your life. Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. It's Christ. Why? Why is it Christ? That is the way for the Father to be glorified. The program. The plan. Christ. What's the Father doing through the Holy Spirit? Conforming us to the image of Christ for the glory of the Father. Right now you're being tested. It's always what's He doing? What does John the Baptist say? I must decrease, He must increase. Every moment. Job 7:18. For doing what? The testing. The self-life or the Christ life? I want to be happy. David said, Psalm 37:4, delight yourselves in the Lord. Delight ourselves in what? In Christ. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourselves in Christ. And He will give you the desires of your heart. I want to do this. I'd like to do this. I want to do this. Delight yourself in Christ. Delight yourself in Christ. He will give you the desires of your heart. Pray how shall we pray? Your will be done. Pray according to His will. The emphasis is always His will. His will. Not your will. His will. And when He brings it to your knees, when He disciplines you, when He takes things from you, what's He doing? The sandpaper, the crucible, the pain is to conform you to the image of Christ. To let you see, I must humble you, my child. I must take this from you because you've turned it into an idol. It's not about my will. It's about your will be done. The Arminian has turned everything around. God made man his image, and man returned the favor. He's taken God, put him in his image, and he wants God to say to man, the Arminian does, man, your will be done. It's not that way. That's not a good thing. Who agrees? For the life to go your way, it's not a good thing. We rail against it. Why did Debbie just, she said this, I don't like this. I wanted to go this way. In other words, what are you saying? I'd be a better God. Oh, okay. So you want to take my throne away from me and my scepter, and you want to sit on the throne and take the scepter and you want to rule. Is that what you want? It really is. Well, that's called blasphemy. Please say it with me. It's called what? Blasphemy. Let's continue. Look at this. The origin of atheism. The origin of atheism. Atheism began in Lucifer asserting his self-deceptive opinion, i.e. the unbelief, the lie, the error, of his independent will and making himself, say it with me, like what? Like God. You're with me on the bottom of page one, right? Read it? In other words, Lucifer proclaimed to possess a godlike, independent, autonomous will, and the goal was to usurp. Say it with me. What? To usurp. What's that word mean? I'll give you a definition. To seize and hold as the power, position of rights of another by force and without legal right of authority. Satan is a, say it with me, usurper. He is a usurper. The old English word is wrest. To wrest the sovereign power from God. To wrest his throne. To wrest his scepter. What was the first sin in the universe? It was a sin of independence. I will, I will, I will. It's five I wills. Do you get the message? What's wicked about it? It's the most egregious, horrific thing that any creature can do. I'm the potter, you're the clay. It's I should rule. I should be on that throne. The creature. And the boldness to be before the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 4 and ask Jesus to fall down at his feet and worship Satan. Worship Satan. It gives you a glimpse of what his nature is all about. He wants worship. Just talking to a guy today who's cutting my hair, and he's going into all this horrible, horrible stuff. I had a 2-hour Bible study with him after he cut my hair. Because he's into Hinduism. And we were fighting for 2 hours. I finally looked at him, speaking the truth of love, because he knows I love him. I love him like my own son. And I said, you are a worshiper of Satan. You're in unbelief. Everything I say to you, I'm telling the truth. There's no argument against what I'm saying. There's no argument against the position of God's independent sovereign will. There's not one argument for free will in all the Bible. But the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a testimony against free will. And I looked at him and I said, you're following Satan. How am I doing that? That's the first time I'm going to tell you this. I shook his hand, I looked at him and said, I love you. He said, I know you do. He said, I enjoy these conversations. We had at least 2 hours every time he cuts my hair. Comes to the house here every 2 weeks and cuts my hair. At the end of cutting the hair, we're into it. He's bringing his Hinduism, Deepak Chopra, Dwayne Dyer, all the stuff. And I love it. I look at him and I'm going, this is the coolest thing ever. Because it's just like I'm battling with Lucifer. And just the arguments are phenomenal what he's giving. It's an attack. If I had read all this, But yeah, everything he's giving me, I just, boom, give it back. Truth, truth. And he just, says, I don't like this. He left, he got in his car, he said, I don't ever win. Says, I'll be back next week. Don't get some more. Look at this. He wants to take God's what? Throne, and thereby doing what? Say it with me. Enthroning what? Himself. Isaiah 14:12. Look at this. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your hearts, your mind, how many wills here? Circle them. Ready? There are five. Ready? Five of them. I will. So what's it all about? Free will. This is Declaration of Independence. This is the creature. Say it with me out loud. Declaration of Independence. What's he asserting? Autonomy. Libertarian what? Free will. I am what? Independent from God. Who agrees? Where does atheism come from? Satan. The origin is Satan. It's satanic. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the throne of the stars. What does he have to have in order to do all this? He's got to be omnipotent. Who agrees? He's got to be all powerful. He's got to kick God out of heaven and make all this happen. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be what? Like. It's the culmination of everything comes this last one. I will be like the Most High. Can I tell you something? Well, that's terrible. I'm the same way and you're the same way also. Every time you don't get your way, what are you saying? I will! Right? Don't like it. I was running around getting ready to go somewhere on a meeting a couple years ago and ran through the house and I stopped. I was going to run over Debbie because she was coming through the door at the same time. And I stopped and I broke my toe. I started and I broke my big toe and just I broke it. And I had to go with this seminar and it was a huge seminar in Atlanta to go to for Kimberly Clark. And I'm going through the airport. Normally I can like this. I'm going through like Igor. Like this. Going through the airport. I go, ah! And it's like, you needed to be humbled. You needed to drag that leg. You needed that broken toe. You needed to be there and just, they look at me on the old stage. You okay? Yeah, fine. Stop. Okay. I'm fine. Everything's cool. It's all according to plan, right? Needed that humble. What about people that are struck with cancer? What about people that they go to the doctor and they have a tumor? The tumor is as large as a golf ball. And they have, in order to take the tumor out, they've got to go through your ear and take your eardrum out. Your whole, one whole ear, you've got to take it out. You're never hearing that. They won't have any mechanism to hear. And then it's going to mess up your right eye and your vision. You will never be able to see in that right eye again. And then it's going to affect the nerves. And you have to talk all over again. Your ear's gone, right ear's gone. Your right eye is almost blind in that. And you can't talk. You go to therapy and talk, and you talk for a living. That happened to a good friend of mine by the name of Ken Lang. All of you know him. And I talked to Ken after he's going through the therapy. He said, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I praise God. I praise Him. I love Him. I needed this. Thank Him. I'm trusting. Pray for my wife. Trusting. Had to have it. No accident! He said, because of this teaching that I've learned, he says, I know it was not a mistake. This was personal. The cancer was planned. The size of the tumor, the growth of it was exactly planned in wisdom for me to conform me to the image of Christ. Without this, there'd be no conforming to the image of Christ. It must be. The cancer must be. But in the primary sense, it's for God. He is seeking Himself. Jesus said in John 8:50, there's one who seeks. And he says, the one who seeks is the Father. What's he seek? His glory. Why is he doing it? He must. That's his goal. God's goal is Himself. He said in Proverbs 16:4, he says, I made all this for myself, even the wicked for the day of damnation. He made it all for himself. This is God's present to himself. He's that glorious. He's that amazing, that awesome, almighty God. uncaused, uncreated, the only God. I made all things for myself. It's for His glory. The evil, the good. It's all here. It's His story for His glory. The characters in Isaiah 54:16, He says, I made Satan. Isaiah 54:16, I made Satan. In Job 12:16, He says, the deceiver and deceived are mine. The deceiver and deceived are mine. They're my characters. They're all mine. Ezekiel 18:4, he says that all souls are mine. Matthew 20 and 15, he says, can I not do with my own things? Is it not lawful for me to do with my own things what I want to for my own glory? It's all His. It's His creation. It came from one source, Him. It has one purpose for His glory. It's all about the glory of the Father. Everything is going to happen to you from now for eternity. It's all for one reason. God's glory. Learn this. Praise Him for it. He took a king that was so prideful, Nebuchadnezzar, and he was thinking, oh, my kingdom, my kingdom. And then Daniel chapter 4, he takes him, reduces him to an insane animal for 7 years. He causes his insanity. He brings him out of his insanity. And the first thing that he says is, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, what have you done? Through all the whole Bible, that's a testimony of the free, independent, autonomous will of God. Nothing about, no argument for the free, autonomous, independent will of man. Nothing. The creature does not have it. Isaiah 46:9-11. Isaiah affirms the whole thing about God. For I am God, there's no other. There's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things are not yet done. Saying, my counsel will stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I've spoken it. I have also purposed it. I will bring it to pass. I will also do it. Who do we want to worship? God or man? Who do we want to depend on? Our will or the will of the one who's ruling everything perfectly? To give an independent will to man, how could he assure the fulfillment of one prophecy? How could anything be fulfilled if there's an independent will? It's impossible. It depends upon an independent will. There's no guarantee of anything. Continue reading. Satan taught this atheism to Eve. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, hath God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What did Satan introduce? Please say it with me. Doubt. Please say it. Doubt. He introduced doubt. Doubt. He did not come right out and say to her that God's a liar. Because guess what? That's not smart. That's not deceptive. That'd be right off. I'm done listening to this. He introduces doubt. Doubt is the handmaid of skepticism. Skepticism is the servant of unbelief. And unbelief is Satan's introduction to atheism, which unwittingly is the worship of what? Say it. Satan. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of what? The wicked one. Genesis 3:4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be what? Like God, knowing good and evil. Join me, and let's be like God. How? independence. Let's have knowledge. Let's separate from God. Let's declare our independence. Follow me in this declaration of independence of man's autonomous will. Satan achieved his goal to cause Eve and Adam to reject the infallible truth of God's revelation in exchange for his error, thereby causing them to come under, say it with me, his authority. Ephesians 2:1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the what? Air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who is that? Satan. 2 Timothy 2:26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do what? His will. Matthew 4:9, what does Satan say to Jesus? And he, that's Satan, said to him, Christ, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and do what? Worship me. Point number three. The scriptural logic of why this, of the doctrine of the so-called free, independent, autonomous will of man leads to atheism. What's the logic, Jack? This is from Dr. Clark. We're going to read this. I got it written down, so hang on with me, okay? Suppose it be granted, everybody got it? Just for the moment, the divine foreknowledge, like human guesses, does not cause the foreknown event. In other words, there's no cause for that event. It's foreknown, but it's not caused. God just had a guess. It's like a great crystal ball gazer in the sky. Hypotheses. Guesses. Like the weatherman. Even so, if there is foreknowledge, in contrast with fallible guesses, which means guesses that are not inerrant, free will is, say with me, impossible. If man has free will and things can be different, God cannot be all-knowing, omniscient. Some Arminians have admitted this and have denied omniscience, but this puts them obviously at odds with biblical Christianity. Hold your place, put a little mark by that place right there on page 2. Has everybody got it? Hold your finger right there, put a little mark by it, and let's go to page 6. Go to page 6 real quick, okay? It's the bottom of page 5. I'm sorry, I thought it was all on page 6. Go to the bottom of page 5. This is Clark Pinnock. Clark Pinnock became a consistent free willist. Clark Pinnock at one time stood for that the Bible had no error in it. At one time, Clark Pinnock, Dr. Pinnock, brilliant scholar. At one time, Dr. Pinnock said, God is all-knowing. God knows everything. Foreknows everything with perfect certitude. All prophecy is perfect. God cannot err. The scripture is truth. Plenary, verbal, infallible, inerrant. Truth. He believed it. But guess what? By being an Arminian, he started going into the doctrine of free will, started working out free will, and guess what he said? If man has an independent will, God cannot know what that independent will is going to choose. He said the Bible is not, the Bible has errors. Christ had errors when he spoke in the Bible. There was errors in Christ's predictions. He had false things that he said. And God is not all-knowing. But we love him. Can I tell you something? Once you accept that, once Satan, you deduce out the logic of your Arminianism, guess what it becomes? Your God becomes like my kids when they're growing up, they had their imaginary friends. Your God becomes your imaginary friend. You can just choose any gods then, because guess what? Once you do away with truth and do away with the attributes of God, you've done away with God. God no longer exists. Free will logically is the death of God. Free will, once you say free will, can I tell you something? On the pain of contradiction, God does not exist. If you believe, he can not exist. You are an unconscious atheist. An illogical atheist. On pain of understanding of the attributes of God, and when you posit that, God does not exist. There is no God. What did he say? Look at what Clark Pinnock said. The Bible is not completely inerrant. He says, this leaves us with a question. Does the New Testament, did Jesus teach the perfect errorlessness of the Scriptures? What's he say? Say it with me. No. Not in plain terms. This is found in the scripture principle, page 57. What else does he say? All of the New Testament does not teach a strict doctrine of inerrancy. Oh, what? Really? I didn't have time to put all the verses to refute him. All of the New Testament does not teach a strict doctrine of inerrancy. But that's Luciferian. Smell it. Error all over it. In Tennessee, we have skunks come by. And Mama would tell me, that's a polecat. What's a polecat? Little kid. I know what it is. Don't pit that little cat over there. That's a skunk. It's not a cat. It's just Luciferian. You smell it. It might be said to encourage a trusting attitude, which inerrancy, in a more lenient definition, does signify. The fact is that inerrancy is a very flexible term in and of itself. In other words, it's called the master of equivocation. It's like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall. There's no meaning to it at all. It just can't nail it down. Is it or is it not? Well, it's not really. No truth. Verbal subterfuge is what it is. The Bible does not attempt to give the impression that it is flawless. This is according to Dr. Clark Pennock, the late. He doesn't believe this any longer. He died. Now he knows the truth. The Bible does not attempt to give the impression that it is flawless in historical or scientific ways. God uses writers with weaknesses and still teaches the truth of revelation through them. Error comes through them. What God aims to do through inspiration is stir up faith in the gospel through the word of Scripture, which remains a human text beset by normal weaknesses, which includes errors. On the infallibility of the Bible is not a book like the Quran, consisting of nothing but perfectly infallible propositions. Wow. Are you a Muslim? The Bible did not fall from heaven. We place our trust ultimately in Jesus Christ, not in the Bible. Yes, what Christ? Christ put his faith totally in what? Scripture alone, revelation of what his Father said. What the Scriptures do is to present a sound and reliable testimony, not in an errant one, to who he is and what God has done for us. Second, some prophecies are conditional, leaving the future open, and presumably God's knowledge of it. God's knowledge of it's open. He's surprised. Wow. Look at what man's doing. That is so cool. It's a what? It's a finite God, which is no God at all. Amen? A God that's not all-knowing is not a God. Not the God of Scripture. God of your imagination. We may not want to admit it, but prophecies often go unfulfilled. Is that amazing? God's foreknowledge is limited. It is unsound to think of exhaustive foreknowledge, implying that every detail of the future is already decided. Can anyone say Satan? There are aspects about the future that even God does not know. Come on, folks. Blasphemy. Please say blasphemy. Blasphemy. God is certain about some aspects of it, the future, and uncertain about other aspects because he's given the creature independent, autonomous, free will. What's he say? But no being... Listen, this is talking about ultimate blasphemy. I'll say these to last, ultimate blasphemy. But no being, not even God, can know in advance precisely, listen to the logic, don't miss it, here it is, what free agents will do. Why, Dr. Clark Pennock, even though he may predict it with great accuracy, he can't know because the creature has an independent from God's mind. It makes God a what? A dependent knower. A dependent sovereign one. God's no longer sovereign. He's the subject, and the creature becomes sovereign. You've just reversed the order. God, in order to be omniscient, need not know the future in complete detail. That's what omniscience is! Please! Tell me your Bibles, please turn. Isaiah 29, please turn. Isaiah. Find Isaiah real quick. Help your friends find it. Isaiah 29, verse 16. Isaiah 29, 16. Please find it. Isaiah 29. You have Psalms and you have Proverbs. Keep on going. You have Ecclesiastes. Come to Song of Solomon. Isaiah 29:16. Raise your hand when you got it. Isaiah 29:16. Raise your hand when you got it. Ready? Surely, Isaiah says. This is quoting what the Lord gave him. Surely you have things turned around. Would that apply to Clark Pinnock? Please say yes. Surely you have things turned around. Should the potter be esteemed as the clay? Am I like you? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? The same book, Isaiah, please turn to Isaiah 10. Isaiah 10. Look at verse 15, Isaiah 10:15. Shall the axe boast itself against him who chops it with it? Is there such thing as a self-determined axe? Isaiah 10:15. Shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Does the axe have an independent will? The axe cannot do anything unless it has a what? A person who picks it up. Who agrees with that? Do you see what the Holy Spirit's doing here? It's called reductio ad absurdum. He reduces it to the absurd. It's the apagogic argument. It's the ultimate argument to destroy this blasphemy. It shows how ridiculous. This is an argument against free will. It's a dominant argument. Or shall the Saul exalt itself against him who saws with it? What is it? Is there a self-determined Saul? Does it have a will, an autonomous will, away from the one who's sawing? Or as if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up? Or as if a staff could lift up as if it were not wood? Last thing. Come back to your page. Right there where I said hold your place there, right? Everybody got on page 2? First, the doctrine of creation must be abandoned. Can I tell you how you defeat all this? John, I was wondering why Clark. Here's a great book. Everybody look at this. Predestination by Clark. This is a book you got to read, you got to digest. Every time I go on vacation for years, started reading it like 10, 11 years ago, gave it to John. John just came back to me, started memorizing all the verses in it. He just went crazy over it. It changed John. It totally changed John's life. He's never been the same since he's read this book. Never. He was a Nestorian from day one. Total 100% Nestorian. He called me up, give me the verses. He's given to me constantly. I said, I don't deserve to hear this. Keep on saying it. I don't deserve all these sorry, but keep on saying I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Go, John. Just go. Say them more. I want to hear more. What to do? Worship God. Amen? All this is designed to love Him, to be obedient, to be like Christ. To your will be done. There's nothing of this redounds to the creature. This is the death blow to pride, to presumption, to presumptuous sins, to arrogance. It's the only doctrine that makes you humble and makes you holy. And worship God, the only occasion for worship Him moment by moment, second by second, praising, adoring, thanking Him. I love you. I thank you for bringing this into my life. This is wicked, but you, it came from your hand alone. Well, Satan brought it in. But what did Job know? Job knew about Satan. He was a mere tear man. The four people that came in, the four servants, one after another, the Sabaeans have killed your servants. The Chaldeans have killed. Whoa, the God is hitting his soul. What's he doing to him? Boom! Sandpaper, conforming to the image of Christ. Another servant, boom! What's he doing? The purpose, to drive him to his knees. And what? Humility. Humility, drive him down. The next one, your children all say, Oh, God. One after another. Oh, conforming. It's time for you to mature. It's time for you to grow. Every day, the Bible says, you got up every day. 10 children sacrificed to do the custom of Job. To do what? He says, Satan, come here. Say, look at Job. Look at him. Every day he gets up and he worships me and he prays for those children. 10 kids, 10 separate sacrifices. The discipline. Incredible the discipline. But there was something in Job that needed to be brought out. Job was prideful. I learned this from John. The Holy Spirit taught me this through John. Job had wanted to commend himself to God. Job gave to the poor. Job did all these things. Wanted to commend himself to God. It's time to conform Job to take away everything that reflects Job and to show my sovereign will, grace in his life. One thing after another. One thing after another. What did he say? He says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Said nothing about Sabaeans, the Chaldeans. He heard all this, but he went to the primary cause because sanity is in the primary cause. It's the ultimate cause. He heard the immediate causes, the Sabaeans, the Chaldeans, the whirlwind, the fire. He heard those four individual immediate causes, but he did not go there for his sanity. He wasn't esoterian. He was a logical, absolute esoterian. And then what did his soul come out? He came out with, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the very last verse, verse 22, says, in all of this, Job did not sin. How? By not charging God with wrong. He said God was the ultimate cause. It only happened because God gave, God took away. But he said God was not the responsible, sinful, culpable cause. He wasn't the doer of the evil, but he said he was evil. And his wife heard all this. It impacted her soul. God did not take her life. He had her come around because he had a purpose for her, Mrs. Job, to glorify the Father later on in their lives. And Mrs. Job turned to Job in Job 2:10 and said, curse! In verse 9, curse him! Curse him! Curse him and die! Curse him and die! Curse him! Job, curse him. Let it end, let it end, let it end. The suffering, let it end. My children, our wealth, it's all over, it's over, it's over. It's all over, it's over. Curse him! Curse him, please, Job! Job says in verse 10, he says, why are you like the foolish women? Why are you like them? Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil? Evil? Praise him for the evil. Because it comes from the hand of God. It's personal. How did Christ get through with all this? How did Christ deal with all this? As he's going through his whole life, he's reading there throughout the Old Testament. He comes to Psalms, and the Psalm of David, and he sees about Judas. He learned all about Judas in the Psalms. And the Holy Spirit taught him, this is the man that you're supposed to choose as one of your 12 disciples. But this is the man that will betray you. But this is the man you must choose. He knew all along that when he chose him of the 12 disciples, this was the one that was written in Scripture. I must be obedient to Scripture. This was for the fulfillment of my Father's eternal, infallible, inevitable truth. I choose Judas. I choose Judas. If you read through the Gospels, all the things are happening to him. He knew it was his Father's will. Cursing him. All the disciples. It was always to fulfill Scripture. Fulfill Scripture. It was always about Scripture being fulfilled. His life was under what? It was not a surprise when somebody would come in. He knew this is the Father doing this. I must go through this. The fulfillment of Scripture. Turn with me, and I'll finish this up next week. I want to show you this. Turn to page 4. Look at this. Page 4. The bottom of the page. The testimony of Jesus with regards to the doctrine of necessity. Luke 24:44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things, said with me out loud, must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Luke 22:22. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been said. Determined. Who determined it? His Father determined it. But woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. That's Judas. Daniel 11:36, the king shall do according to his own will. Yes, he has a will, but the will is not what? Independent from God's plan, autonomous. It is not free from the eternal, immutable, uncaused plan of God. Sure, everyone has a will, but the will has been what? Decreed. He shall exalt, this is the Antichrist, he shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been, what, accomplished? For what has been, say it, determined shall be done. It must be done. Acts 17:26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has, say it with me, determined their pre-appointed times, the boundaries of the dwelling place. You say to me, Jack, I chose my house. No, you did not. God chose it for you. Where you're living is exactly what was determined in eternity past. You can only live according to the Scripture where He determined. Job 14:5. Since His days are, say it, determined, the number of His months is with you. You have appointed His limits so that He cannot pass. Acts 2:23. Him, that's Jesus, be delivered by the what? Determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death. There's God's sovereign will, and then there's man's responsibility tied into one verse. Why did Christ have to die? Can I tell you why? It had nothing to do with man. It had everything to do with the nature of God. Nothing to do with the nature of man. Because man's nature is created. Christ must die because that is the definition of Christ. He is the Savior. Christ must die because by definition the Father is merciful. Mercy presupposes evil. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. What did the Holy Spirit do? He wrote the Bible of eternal necessity. We must have a revelation. The cross work of Christ is because of the nature of the Trinity. It has nothing to do with man creating the fall. That's why we are supralapsarian. We believe that all took place before the fall of man. None of this took place after man fell, and God has a contingency plan, a plan B, an alternative plan. There's no such thing in the mind of God. He has an eternal thought, no afterthoughts, no plan Bs, no contingency plans. That's blasphemy to utter that from your mouth. You are a blasphemer. You need to be rebuked. So strong! You're a blasphemer. Don't utter that about God. It has nothing to do with God. Look at this. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. This is Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many has been, said with me, appointed to eternal life believe. When were they appointed? Say it with me. It never happened. It's from eternity. You believe. Why do you believe? Because it was planned for you to believe. You have nothing to do with it. You must believe. Not that you just believe, but you must believe. Mark 14:21. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of Him. But woe to that man by the Son of Man is betrayed. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. That was Judas. The Son of Man, what's He do? Indeed goes just as it is written of Him. It's a script. Christ was following a script. Who agrees? That's what it says. John 13:18. I do not speak concerning Christ, says, of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the Scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Who's he talking about? Judas. What did you say? But that the Scripture may be fulfilled. It was scriptural. Did he know that Judas was going to betray him? He knew it from eternity past. He's God in the flesh. John 17:12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He read it in the Psalms, knowing about Judas. He chose him, knowing he would be the one to give him the kiss on the cheek in the garden to betray him to the Roman soldiers. Jesus' life was dedicated to being obedient to His Father's will. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, say with me out loud, please. My food, what? What's it say? My food is to do the will of Him who sent me